T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you want to know what's going on at 1265 Lombardi Avenue? What's next for the Pack? Let's check in with our Green and Gold insider, Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press-Gazette. Brought to you by Thomas Morola Law Offices. Divorce, child custody, and other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Morola. Online at morolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800.
And go, Pack, go. Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvat. Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, and the Green Bay Press Gazette. Ryan, good morning. We saw the Packers play on the road in week one. No fans. Some stadiums going to have fans this week. Fun fact, if you did not know, every team that is at home this week was on the road last week. Every team that is on the road this week was at home last week. First time that's ever happened since the merger. Did you know that?
I did not know that. You're teaching me things, Bart.
Yeah, put it in your story, like the very bottom.
At the very bottom.
Ryan, did you know Clayton Kershaw and Matthew Stafford actually grew up together?
Yeah, have you ever heard that on TV?
I did know that one.
Oh, okay, damn it. All right, that's all I really had for the show today.
Yeah, we thought we'd try to instill some knowledge to you. Hey, we were talking about Aaron Rodgers and listening to some of the stuff he had to say this week, and he brings up again the video that he watched of 2010 and 2011 and, you know, when he was winning a Super Bowl with the Packers, and he said, I still don't want to tell you what I saw. What he saw was he got rid of the ball, like, quicker, right? I mean, that's pretty much it. I watch that Super Bowl all the time because it's on my DVR, and, you know, some nights it's 2 a.m., and a friend's over pre-COVID, and we'll get some toppers, and as we're waiting, I turn on the game. But he gets rid of the ball so quick, that's got to be the thing that he saw, right?
Well, he saw that. I don't know if that's what he considers the correction or the adjustment that he made in the game, because he also talked about being better balanced and just having a better platform to throw from. And he didn't say that was it either, but he said, no, I'm not going to expound upon it, and then expounded upon it. So, but you're absolutely right with the release times. All right, so I did quite an expanded story on his release times at the end of right after week 17 last year, because if you remember, everyone, the talk was he's holding on to the ball too long. He's holding on to the ball.
I recall that story. That was, you put in a lot of work on that.
And so I stopwatched every single throw from his 2019 season, then went back to his 2011 season. And in 2019, in his 16 games, the regular season, he averaged 2.86 seconds from snap to release on his throws. On Sunday, it was 2.26. He dropped 0.6 seconds on average, and that's for 44 throws. That's a massive difference. That's more than a half second. And he had 11. So his best window is basically between 2 and 2.5 seconds, and that's within the offense. He had 11 throws between 2 and 2.5 seconds on Sunday. So he was maximizing his best window. He was maximizing being on time in the offense, something that we did not see from him basically all of last year. So it was a massive difference. So you cannot overstate just how big of a difference his being on time and releasing the ball within the rhythm of the offense was on Sunday compared to last year.
You know, that could be because that the scheme allows for that too. One thing that I also heard Rodgers say this week is, because I've been somebody, I just want, and I didn't play football. I've studied football. I love football. One of the things I've wanted the last few years is, can you do something to like make the defense even think for a little bit that they don't know what's coming? And so pre-snap motion is, I think, a pretty obvious thing to do. But Rodgers said that he didn't like doing it, and McCarthy didn't like doing it. But I was surprised to hear that Rodgers wants things to be stationary before the snap. But, you know, I guess Matt LaFleur must have convinced him that, no, it's the, you know, 2020s. We got to do something. I was just surprised, Ryan, to hear that Rodgers said he wasn't a big fan of the pre-snap movement.
I wasn't surprised for this reason, because when things are stationary, there's more time to operate before the snap, right? I mean, these pre-snap motions take time to develop, and the less time that Aaron Rodgers has in terms of surveying the defense, audibly, making adjustments and whatnot before the play, before the snap, the less latitude he has at the line of scrimmage to be in control. So it's been a sliding scale, and this is what we talked about a year ago when Matt LaFleur came in, is that push and pull between the audibling and the pre-snap motion. And when Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers talk about, it's not Matt LaFleur's system, it's not Aaron Rodgers' system, it's their system, it's about finding a blend between the two, between giving Rodgers, because Rodgers needs autonomy at the line of scrimmage, because he is as cerebral, if not more cerebral, than anybody in the league. That is a strength of his. You don't want to limit one of his greatest strengths. But you also saw with LaFleur's system, when you have all these pre-snap motions, just how much it can camouflage the play design, and the defense really has no idea what's coming. So I think what they found on Sunday was the closest to a perfect balance that we've seen now in the, 20 games that the two have had together, counting playoffs. So if that can continue, if they can build on that, this could be a very scary offense.
Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette. They are only served with a healthy offensive line. We know that Lane Taylor is out for the season. Do we know? It sounds like Lucas Patrick should be good to go. Billy Turner, we're not quite sure of. They haven't really gone out and signed anybody. I think they might have picked somebody up on the practice squad again. But what is the latest on the offensive line?
Well, Billy Turner and Lucas Patrick both practiced yesterday, so that was good. We have to see if they practice today. They're in pads today. And Billy Turner returned to Thursday's practice last week in pads, and Matt LaFleur said that he was making progress. And then the Friday morning, the knee didn't feel great. It was sore. It was swollen. They shut it down. So it's always the day after, once you get on the practice field, especially the day after pads. And Friday morning is always big if they're able to get out there in Thursdays in pads. So we'll see. You know, if Billy Turner and Lucas Patrick are able to go this week, that might be your starting side of the starting right side of the offensive line. Rick Wagner certainly can be in consideration for right tackle as well. Matt LaFleur said that he played well. John Runyon played well, surprisingly so, as a rookie that had no kind of forewarning that, hey, you're on the field now. But, they like Lucas Patrick. They gave him the extension last year, the two-year extension, because they believe that he's starting caliber depth, that they can put him in a game and he can take the snaps. And Billy Turner is as capable of playing right tackle as right guard, so we'll just have to see how it plays out.
Obvious follow-up would be to ask you about Kenny Clark. Do we think that he'll play, or is this a game-time decision scenario?
I'm curious to see if he'll get on the field in pads today. He said on his radio show last night that his foot kind of slipped and he pulled his groin. He obviously didn't return after halftime. He walked to the locker room, but did not come back, was not on the field yesterday. If he's not able to get on the field today, it's not going to look good for him for Sunday. It would probably be a surprise at that point, but not an impossibility, especially because he is the type of veteran guy at this point who doesn't need a week of practice to be able to play. So, yeah, it certainly is shaping up to be at best a game-time decision, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes during the week.
You know, we look ahead to this game against Detroit. Now, Ryan Wood joining us, great Midwest Bank hotline. And it's hard not to think the Packers are going to win. They play at home. They just put up 43 points. The Lions had a really good couple of quarters, and they still could have won that football game. DeAndre Swift dropping a pass in the end zone. But when you let a team come back on you like that, like the Bears did, when you let a Mitch Trubisky-led team come back on you, it's going to be very deflating. Matt Patricia is not a good football coach. The Lions fired Jim Caldwell after a season they went 9-7. Matt Patricia has been 9-23-1 in his time there. I know that, you know, they've got three guys that can run the football. Adrian Peterson still seems to have life in him. Kenny Golladay, I think, is on track to return in week two, so that would be a big boon to their offense. But I have a hard time looking at this game and not thinking it's going to be a 2-0 start for the Packers.
Well, the Packers took advantage of some very young and experienced corners on Sunday in Minnesota. And what are they going to get this week other than young and inexperienced corners? So it's kind of rinse and repeat. I'm with you. The only thing to keep in mind, though, is that the Packers led for exactly 0 minutes last year. Now, they won both of those games, but they led for exactly 0 minutes in two games against the Lions. So this is a Detroit team that, if you look over the last 3, 4, even 5 years, they have played the Packers tougher than they have in decades. It's just the way it's been. I mean, under Jim Caldwell, and then even last year, leading for 120 minutes out of 120 minutes against the Packers, they've played the Packers tough. Even at times when you wouldn't expect them to. Now, you can also, you know, the flip side of that coin is that they are the Lions and they happen to lead 120 minutes out of 120 minutes and lose both games. That is a very Lions thing to do. But it's not a game that they can overlook. I mean, I'm with you. I think the Packers absolutely win this game. I don't know that it's particularly close, but I kind of felt that way last year, and they trailed the entire time until the end. So I guess what I'm saying is don't be surprised if it is closer than you expect.
Well, we'd like to see a better effort from the defense. Not that, again, we talked about this earlier in the week, but, you know, the way of this game and the pre-fend defense, and it was trading touchdowns. In the early quarters, the Packers' defense looked good. They held the Vikings to 10 at halftime. Where I was impressed with the defense was some of these linebackers. I thought that Rashawn Gary had some nice open field plays. He chased down Kirk Cousins on one. I don't know if it got credited for a sack. It may have, but it was a nice play by him. Christian Kirksey did very well. Chris Barnes could be a thing here. This linebacker group, I think that they might be better than anticipated if Kirksey can stay healthy. And then is this Chris Barnes guy? I mean, is he going to be a thing? Is he past whatever we expected out of Oren Burks and Ty Summers already?
I don't think there's any question he's passed Oren Burks and Ty Summers, considering he was released 8 days before the opener and ended up starting over them, which says as much about Chris Barnes as it does Oren Burks and Ty Summers. That was a heck of a play that Chris Barnes made on Dalvin Cook. I mean, my goodness, that open field tackle when you beat three offensive linemen. He doesn't make that play. There is nothing but green grass and purple jerseys in front of Dalvin Cook. So that was impressive. Christian Kirksey had a lot of praise for Chris Barnes and just, you know, what he was able to do within the course of a week to get ready to play and to play the way he did. So, you know, they got to stay healthy, but there's something there. Defensively as a whole, I went back and watched the game, and In the critical moments, the defense was really good. It was very clear that late they got into prevent defense, and the prevent defense was hardly anything preventative at all. It was the not prevent defense. They've got to play their prevent defense better. There's no question. They were back and playing off coverage, and you know they've got to do that better. But when they were not playing prevent defense, they didn't give the Vikings very much. And that's an offense that has Dalvin Cook and Kirk Cousins and Adam Thielen. I mean, they've got some weapons on that offense. They other than that opening drive touchdown, they really shut them down. It was an 8-7 game, late, a minute to go in the first half. So defensively, the final numbers look bad. because they do, you can't just dismiss it. Like they do have to do better in their prevent defense. But all the actual play on the field was much better than the numbers indicate. And they've got to do it again. It can't be one time, but if they play again in the critical moments like they did Sunday, if they do that against the Lions, should be a good defensive effort.
Give me a score for Sunday.
Oh, it's tempting not to say a lot to a little. I don't think the Lions are going to really be in this game. You know, Matt Stafford might be able to put up some yards and points, but at the end of the day, let's say Packers 31 to Lions 17. Let's say two touchdowns.
All right, I'll say the exact same thing. I trust you on that one. All right, Ryan, appreciate your time. We will talk to you again after Packers-Lions.
All right, have a good weekend.
Ryan Wood, you too. Ryan Wood joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Is your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, more next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.